been a very stressful one for our small company. We need an agreement for our lenders to have assurance that we will have the business revenue to honor our debts. We also need the agreement so lenders will provide the financing to continue to advance the goals outlined in the franchise agreement around climate change, safety, and other policies that influence how we collect and sort materials. Those goals often require our business to purchase new equipment and make other investments. This agreement is not only important for existing franchisees, but critical for any potential new entrant who is seeking to acquire a franchise. The agreement is what banks and lenders need for, and all companies need financing to operate. As a hauler and president of the Portland Haulers Association, I am proud of the partnerships we have formed with the City of Portland and staff of Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm also proud that our group of stakeholders and partners has expanded. We are learning new perspectives from the community, and I believe the others are learning from ours. While at times it has been tense, I believe we all want what is best for the city, both in terms of creating and supporting economic opportunities for small companies, as well as providing excellent service to the Portland residents. I wish that you would support the franchise agreement.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners, Andre Baugh. First, I hope you support the franchise agreement. It gives the haulers what they need to move forward. But I want to be clear, it does nothing for equity. In 12 years, I doubt there would be any a more diverse group. It's a good agreement for them. It moves their values forward to keep the businesses, to get the quality we want for our residents. And so I encourage you to not make any changes and move forward. The work plan, on the other hand, is the tool. It is totally in your control. Without your directives to your bureaus, that is an implementation plan, not a study plan, in my view. So if you study it to death and get a report back each year, there will be no equity move forward in this area. The areas, and I'll just be quick about what I think you, each of your bureaus, can do in the area of housing. The Housing Bureau today sets requirements for people that want their money for participation of MWSBs, for energy efficiency, a number of things. There's nothing that I think would prevent them from saying they have to use a hauler that is of MWSB. You have agreements around garbage collection today that you could change in the parks area. You can do things around transportation. You can work with other agencies, Multnomah County, Home Ford, in talking to them about the collaboration that the city already has in moving forward. These are things that are already in the work plan, and to be able to come back and within a year and say, how do you move forward, I think is reasonable. Staff has done a very good job in looking at the opportunities that are out there. What you really need now is, in a year, how do we move forward, and what are the agreements you need to have minority firms pick up city garbage, get into the multifamily. The multifamily area, in my 3 years of delving into this issue, is it's the growth area. That's where Portland's growing, as you know, in multifamily. The ability to direct and push that area with the haulers, and it's the area that has the least amount, and you can check with staff, but it doesn't have the best recycling record. So we can improve the recycling and do things with the minority haulers. I encourage you to direct and have your staff work with BPS to implement the work plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all of you.
The next three are Ashley Henry, Elizabeth Start, and we're going to go with Mary Sipe.
And just a time check, Carla, how many more do we have after that?
Two more.
Thank you.
morning.
Good morning.
I'll get started. My name's Mary Seip. I just want to say that I strongly support Commissioner Fish's comments about the multifamily piece of this. As I'm sitting here and I was watching the PowerPoint presentation and I saw the pie chart and I see 20% is residential and 80% is multifamily and commercial, my perspective is, okay, we're talking about a program to expand opportunities to minorities, women, emerging small business owners, but we're only giving 20% of that piece of pie as the opportunity. And I think we need to look at this carefully. What comes to mind for me is the Pearl District. Pearl District might be a great place to use as a pilot program. I mean, when you look at the concentration of multifamily and commercial in that community, and it also might address some issues that we have with noise from garbage pickup and the multiple all day long different companies that are coming into every building. So I wanted to just support Commissioner Fish's comments. And I also want to thank Hybrid as well about using the compressed natural gas. It's another thing in the community where I live with all of the trucks that are diesel. The amount of diesel emissions that we have in our neighborhood is really starting to concern a lot of people. And I think especially something like this, any company that can make that kind of expenditure and any financing opportunities that the city can provide to help encourage that, I strongly support. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Ashley Henry. I'm here representing Business for a Better Portland. We're a membership organization comprised of about 265 companies in Portland. And I'm pleased to be here today to support the agreement. Actually, it was great to look back at our comments from August of 2017, the letter that we submitted when you began this process. It was actually the first time that we testified as an organization before City Council, and at that time we had about 100 members, and today we have over 265. And, you know, it's interesting that of all the things that, all the topics that we could have chosen to testify on, the very first one was this very issue. And it may seem like a relatively obscure issue compared to all the things that are happening in our city, but given the fact that our organization really set out to call attention to historic inequities that have existed in our city and try to find ways that businesses could elevate concern about that and ways that policies can address the inequities that were created by policies in the past, really made sense for us to be weighing in on this topic. So I want to thank you for that opportunity and just encourage you to continue the good work that's being done already with the Waste Equity Plan and to stay on top of that, because there's going to be obviously leadership changes at BPS, and I know these kinds of things can sometimes things get busy in the city, and so we just encourage you to continue your focus on it, because the outcomes are incredibly important to create more opportunities for local companies to continue to grow in the city.
Thank you, Ashley. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Start. I'm Executive Director of Scrap, which has nothing to do with this because we get people to reduce their garbage and reuse. However, I have a unique background in equity, solid waste, and recycling, and as part of the stakeholder group, as I believe the only non-stakeholder or one of the only non-stakeholders. However, you know, this work is really important, and I appreciate the council's direction on getting more folks of color and women to own or into the industry and to reduce those barriers and getting more businesses, and also the great work that BPS has put into this. I support moving forward with the contracts. There's a lot of companies that are waiting in their livelihoods. Their businesses are, you know, kind of at a standstill, so I support that fully. However, I think it is important to recognize that these businesses have benefited from a system that has created these barriers to people of color, because it is white-owned businesses. So I think that, you know, as we go along this process, I recommend that you support the Waste Equity Plan, and as we go along these next 12 years and look at these franchise agreements, that there's going to be a lot of hard decisions that are going to have to be made, and people will be affected, but I think that there is an equitable path forward that will benefit all of the parties. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three.
The last two are Lightning and Alondo Simpson.
And while they're coming up, I'll just do the message again. This morning, Wednesday, October 3rd, FEMA is conducting a national alerting test, which will notify almost every person in the country simultaneously. Here's what's to expect. Number one. You're thinking, who gets left out, right? At 11:18 a.m., the wireless emergency alert system will send a test message to most cell phones. The message will say, this is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is required. At 11:20 a.m., the emergency alert system will send out a test message on TV and radio, and we just want to acknowledge that may impact coverage of the City Council hearing, at least briefly. Greetings.
You want me? Yeah, good. Thank you. Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent a Lightning Disruptive PDX. One of the concerns I heard from Commissioner Salzman is maybe purchasing the franchise at a certain time. And when that was thrown out, my curiosity kind of looking at that, is that including the total business value of the company that controls the franchise at that time? Because we could be talking a tremendous amount of money if that is. But if you're putting a certain number on that franchise itself, separate from the company itself, I'm curious how you do that valuation, because it's my understanding on this franchise agreement, we're at an 8% and 3% goes to rate stabilization. So when you threw out a purchase price, I'd be curious how you come up with that number. Issue number two is that a lot of these companies that have these franchise in position, really to me that is a monopoly. And we looked at the same thing from the taxi industry when Uber and Lyft stood up here and said, you're going to allow us to expand out into the marketplace or we're just going to sue you, is what their attorney said. From my position, this is almost a monopoly here that has been allowed from within the city to the city's benefit. And again, why did you not go into the area of the multifamily and the commercial? Why did you not expand into that area? Because in my opinion, what you have, and I'll throw a kind of a wrench into the middle of this franchise, you can sign your name and have this franchise in this nice little, sweet little paper where you give all these little benefits to certain people on this franchise agreement. But here's something from Lightning. You cannot expand and have any additional agreements in the commercial arena if you get this franchise for the residential. Now, you're going to have people in this room saying, you better be careful what you're saying, because we have those agreements and those routes already. So when we get this money, that gives us the ability to go to the bank and say, hey, we've secured this franchise. Now we're going to get the equipment. We're going to have the money to operate. And now we can come back in and get the commercial routes. And that's going to step all over all the small players that are trying to step up and go to that bank and saying, hey, I want to step in and get a loan for this commercial agreement, and I can't get the money. I can't get the money and compete. This must be Donald Trump cutting me off. Mr. Trump. Is that what he's doing?
Better him than me.
Yes.
And my phone is on silent, so that's
okay.
Really interesting.
Mine too.
Okay. Should I continue? But
please,
my, go ahead. My point being is that this is a very monopolized system here. And the people in this room want it to be kept that way. We saw what happened in the taxi industry. It opened it up. And again, when you're talking getting that financing from the bank, you are the signature that gets that financing. Unless they have a strong net worth and a lot of money in the bank, they're not going to get that financing. So I suggest you don't extend this out the full term. You cut the time frame up a little bit, go to about a 5-year, and let the small businesses step in on these commercial accounts.
Thank you.
And make sure that they have the money to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Yeah. Are we good?
Okay. Yeah, we're good.
Wow. Thank you, sir. He left me. I'm alone. Mayor Willier, Wheeler, and members of the council. For the record, Orlando Simpson. My company is City of Roses Disposal and Recycling, otherwise known as CORE, which is a locally owned, minority owned solid waste entity, and we've been in business for 22 years. And I don't want to consume too much time here today because there's been some very valuable testimony that's been brought forward by all stakeholders and constituents that have been involved within this process. And I just want to, you know, tip my hat off to those that have sacrificed a lot of time and resources and energy and effort diving through such a complicated manner. I think last time we were here talking about this prior to proceeding down this step, Commissioner Fish had indicated that he felt some kind of tension. And I believe there was tension. There was true organic tension because what was being considered and was being discussed at that time was disruptive. And in these particular times, I think disruption is necessary for our society in all facets of it. And the good thing is that from that disruption and from that chaos and from that pain, we've actually been able to come to a consensus on a direction we all feel is going to be adequate that we can go down and be proud about in the future of our solid waste and recycling system, not only for all of the constituents and stakeholders of today, primarily those that are going to be benefiting the most on the franchise agreement, but also the stakeholders and constituents of the future and the future generations. I feel like as an entrepreneur, as a business owner of color, it's my responsibility, as well as a fourth-generation Portlander, to utilize a platform and foundation that my grandfather and my father have put in front of myself and my siblings and the rest of my family members to try to build something substantial and create wealth. Because as we know, wealth is the caveat to a lot of the challenges we see in society today relates to the economic disparities. And the irony here is that there was an important document that was actually released throughout this process, a 1955 City Club report, which talked about racial discriminatory practices that have existed in the solid waste system in this very city. And then I go back to look at in 17, Mayor Wheeler, you presented your State of the City speech at the City Club talking about reducing barriers to economic opportunities and building wealth in community of colors, primarily African-American communities. And so given the fact that the thing that people see of least value being waste could be the catalyst to us achieving some of these aspirational goals that are leader in charge has set out, I think is not only groundbreaking, but it sets the tone for the rest of the region, the rest of the country, and most importantly, the rest of the world. And as somebody who loves this city, I am very adamant about us making sure that we achieve sustainability in all facets, not just the green side and not just around our environmental footprint, but also utilizing equity and diversity as a caveat to help us get to a truly prosperous, resilient ecosystem for future generations. And just for the record, as we're talking about opportunities in the system around multifamily and city facilities and all these other opportunities that staff are going to be entertaining and looking to explore, I want you guys to be fully aware that my company is capable and willing and ready to take on some of those opportunities if they are presented. The difference between investment from my lens for how I perceive investment is because I make investments to take risk. Risk does not assure a return. When you have a franchise, that is a guaranteed return. So it's not really the same way I view investment. Investment is putting yourself out there. And so as we stand today, and I'm sorry that I'm going overboard because I know you guys have to move forward, but I just want to compliment staff. I think staff have done a tremendous job coming into something that is completely foreign, and they have dove into the deep end and found a way to get to safe grounds. I commend the PHA group, all the other constituents, big waste companies, small waste companies, for us to all be able to convene true, honest, transparent conversations and sit around the table to come to a solution that is going to not only benefit all the stakeholders and constituents involved, but as I have indicated before, the system going forward and all our future generations. So thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Simpson, thank you. You've been very, very helpful and very active on this issue, and I can't tell you how much I personally appreciate that.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Very good. So, colleagues, we won't be voting on the franchise agreement itself today. The city charter requires that we move that out 30 days for a vote. So,
Mayor, I move to accept the report.
One moment, Commissioner Fish. With regard to the franchise agreement, what day do we want to put that on the agenda?
November 7th.
So that will be, November 2nd?
7th.
7th. And is that time certain or just on the regular agenda?
It'll be regular agenda.
Very good. November 7th. With regard to the report, Commissioner Fish moves the report. Commissioner Udaly seconds the report. Please call the roll.
Why are we voting?
On the report.
We're just on the report, yeah. The 18 franchise agreement report.
Udaly?
Well, I want to thank everyone who came to give the report today and give their testimony, and for raising these important issues around equity, lack of equity and opportunity. One of the things I love about this job is there is always a new area to learn about and explore, and waste and recycling is a new one for me. And it's really a vital issue, and I'm generally pleased with the improvement that the city's made in utilizing women and minority contractors, but there's obviously a lot of room for improvement here. So I'm just want to put on the record that I am concerned about continued consolidation in the industry, which stands to leave us without any Portland-based companies in the garbage recycling, reuse, and composting system, let alone women or minority-owned companies. So I support moving to a franchising system for multifamily buildings and making sure that Portland-based companies, as well as companies owned by women and people of color, have a chance to access that market, not only for hauling, but also for processing and transferring those waste streams. As we heard today, I'm well aware that there are these are capital-intensive industries and that we have to be sure that companies have the capacity to compete before we help open up new markets. But we should proceed as quickly as we can to open or create new opportunities for Portland-based businesses. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, thanks very much to staff. This is an amazing, really great work, and thank you to everybody who's participated. I would not have guessed that we would get to a hearing where we'd have so many people coming in saying, yes, move forward, and we're all in agreement. This is obviously something that everybody cares about very passionately, and I believe that we can and should make changes. So I appreciate the mayor directing that we will get a report back at council within a year so that we don't just put this on the shelf and on the back burner, that it stays as an issue of vital importance to everybody. Aye.
Fish?
You know, I don't remember the last time we had a hearing on accepting a report and there were no dissenting voices, which often happens. So it's been a good hearing. I want to echo what everyone has said about the staff and the process that has been followed over this past year. I visited with Mr. Simpson the other day and got kind of a primer in the industry. And there's some things which I think we need to seriously consider in the next year. I'm very interested in looking at the multifamily housing. Other than the fact that it's a different piece of technology to collect the trash, I think it still is, in my mind, residential in character. It just requires a different truck. And I'd like to know what our options are when you come back to us in a year from now. I appreciate what Mary said about the Pearl District, and it reminded me of how offensive it was the other day at a public forum when someone who was opposing 26-199 said it would lead to the creation of ghettos. Now, the logic of that is that if you invest in affordable housing, you're creating ghettos like the Pearl District. So I was pleased, Mary, that you pointed out that in terms of just raw percentage, we have more affordable housing in the Pearl than any other part of our city. And we should not be using words like loaded terms like ghettos to describe providing affordable housing for working families. I appreciated the earlier testimony about taking a good hard look at what both the Housing Bureau and the Parks Bureau can do. The mayor has indicated he wants to put a beautification plan on steroids, actually probably not on steroids. I don't want to get him into some regulatory problem here. But he wants to expand garbage collection and find ways to keep up with the demand. it does seem to me that parks and housing are going to be the lead bureaus in that. And as has been suggested, we may have some flexibility in how we can structure that work, which I'd like to know about. Also, just a footnote that I would like to know more about, and I could get an email from staff would be fine on this, and that would be I know that Metro takes $1 a ton for beautification projects, and I'm interested in how that money gets carved up and what comes back to us. And I understand it generates $250,000 a year, either for us or in the pot more generally, just interested in what our share is of that. This is a good report, and it's a basis for doing, I think, even more work to expand opportunity going forward, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
I think it's I just want to say that while I think this report has some interesting recommendations or ideas, two of which I asked about, which are the notion of the city reassuming the franchises at the end of the 12 years and redistributing them, or reallocating the franchise territories, or putting it out to bid. And I know those are radical concepts to the existing hauling community, and I just want to say that this is not said in disrespect at all for the work you do. In fact, I have a tremendous amount of respect for the work you do from the ground up. And but I do think, you know, we need to look at doing business differently if we're going to achieve some equity goals, and those are options that deserve an honest examination. I don't know if any of my colleagues know this, and I wasn't on the council in 92, but that's when we started the franchise. But around that time, there was such opposition to the idea of franchising that I remember the haulers circled City Hall with their trucks in opposition to franchising. So we've come a long way. And since we franchised in 92, again, I want to commend our haulers for really helping us as a city to get to the tremendous recycling rates that we have now, and the ease with which all residents take pride in putting their their push carts at the curb once a week, some even less than once a week. But it's really been, I think, you know, it's given Portland a recycling rate that is the envy of many, many cities. So, again, not only do I commend the haulers, I also want to commend the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff, in particular people like Bruce Walker, who helped transition us from sort of an unfranchised system to a system now that is really achieving a lot of goals. And that doesn't mean there aren't other goals we need to also consider achieving as we move forward as a city. But I'm pleased to support this report. Aye.
Wheeler.
I want to thank everyone who spoke today, the residents, the haulers, staff members who spoke today, as well as those who participated in the many meetings orchestrated by BPS over the last year. There's clearly a lot of interest in this important issue, and we're committed to continuing to push to create new opportunities for minority and women-owned businesses while also honoring the haulers who've invested so much and, as Commissioner Saltzman just said, have provided really excellent service to the people of our city. BPS took a holistic approach to this review and considered opportunities across the entire waste and recycling industry, not just in the residential sector, which accounts for only about 20% of the waste generated in our city. It turns out that many of the best near-term opportunities are actually outside of the residential franchise, as people have noted today. I know some wish we could move faster to create opportunities in the franchise system itself, but I also want to be clear that our intent is to go far, not just to go fast. The actions BPS has identified to create opportunities for minority-owned and women-owned companies will build capacity, and I ultimately believe it will help them to grow in the waste and recycling industry. It's important to note that these opportunities are actually much bigger from a dollar-to-dollar perspective than the franchise system alone. Finally, this is truly important work. The future of our economy is minority-owned and women-owned businesses, whose growth is far outpacing that of non-minority-owned businesses. So I'm very glad that we here in Portland are continuing to work towards reducing the barriers for these companies to participate. I also just want to take one moment to thank a few individuals. Amy Rathfelder from my office has been working very, very hard on this with the BPS team, and I, of course, want to acknowledge the work of Jill Kolick and Ariana Sperry for their not only their tremendous presentations today, but the hard work that they've put into this all along. I vote aye. The report's adopted. Thank you.